You are listening to The Holistic Voice with your hosts, Austin Vitaliano and Jordan Reynolds.
Hey everyone, welcome to the third episode of The Holistic Voice. Today we're going to discuss vocal health. Austin had an interview with Maya Jacobs, and we're excited to get into that. Before, we wanted to talk about a few of our listeners. One of them left a review on our iTunes page. This is definitely unbiased, is the name of the user. So I don't know who this person actually is. I'd love if you could send me a message if you hear this podcast. We'd love to get to know you. But you said, I'm really excited about this podcast. I'm studying voice for my undergrad, and I just decided to pursue music professionally. So these topics are really helpful. I'm also at BYU, so it's cool to hear from an alumni. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And it says, it would be nice if they get information from mezzo-soprano women since they're both guys. And I think that's a really important point. And it's something that we've actually focused on, is getting female guests onto our show. And we'll have some really great things coming up for you guys that we won't spoil just yet, but we have a lot in the works.
Thank you so much for your comment. Yeah, that was really good. Please tell us what you're looking for in future episodes as well. We'll try to cater to those interests and needs.
Yes. And one of the things I'd like to bring up that our friend Whitney Robinson brought to our attention. Whitney is an artist diploma student at New England Conservatory right now. And she brought up this great petition on change.org that classical singers should definitely be aware of. The petition is End Application and Audition Fees for Opera Singers. And this is this is an issue I'm sure that Austin and I both feel very strongly about.
Yeah, there's so many young artists that we're struggling already. We're paying thousands of dollars for an education. And then on top of that, every year we have to send in applications to either young artist programs or summer programs, and we're spending tons of money each audition season, paying not only the cost of travel, but also application fees for every fee. I mean, Jordan, I'm paying anywhere from $20 to sometimes $100 per application just to send in my videos.
Right. That's before you even step into the room. That's before they decide if you're even going to, like, if they want to even see you for an audition. You're paying that much money. It's absolute insanity.
Yeah, so we're really glad that Whitney brought this up to our attention. We're already at, what did you say, 4,600 signatures out of 5,000?
Yes, that's right, 4,600. So let's get that up. We can get it past 5,000, I think. And it's something that AGMA, the American Guild of Musical Artists in Opera America, should really take note of, what rights they're standing up for their singers.
Absolutely. Change.org, we'll put it in our blog notes as well as the podcast notes below. Also, quick shout out to Rachel. Thank you so much. We, back in our first episode, pre-first episode, when we were getting ready to launch, we were having a giveaway for our belt box, that mobile practice room that you could put on your face, and it really dampens a lot of the sound that you're putting out. And Rachel gave us a shout out on Instagram saying that she just received the package, so she will be giving us updates along the way of how she thinks that is going to go well. So we will give you updates for all of you who are interested in the belt box, and stay tuned for more giveaways, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure what we're giving away yet, but stay tuned.
We will be thinking of more, that's for sure. Jordan, what's going on in your life? Update us all, what's happening.
Sure. So with the holiday season upon us, a lot of it is going to be doing a lot of holiday themed gigs. That's what's coming up in the immediate future. I'm just finishing up a run of Little Shop of Horrors playing Seymour Crowborn, which has been so much fun. I love that role, and
yeah,
I hope I get the opportunity to play it more times in the future.
And if you could record it, please send it my way. I'd love to see Seymour almost being eaten by a huge plant. That'd be great.
It's pretty fun.
Awesome.
So you had some exciting news as well.
Yeah. I just got the okay last week. I've been kind of having an interim candidacy audition for the United Methodist, the National United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. And the other week, I just got the okay. The contract has been sent over, so I am now their baritone soloist. So I will be singing I'll be featured in a lot of their Christmas concerts, and I will be doing singing in Messiah as the baritone soloist. So, get ready to hear a lot of those.
The trumpet shall sound.
Yeah, you'll be hearing trumpets all over the place. It'll be great.
That's great.
So another cool updates and getting along the way for this year-end wrap-up.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. And you too. Have a great show this weekend. You want to get into what we're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Tell me what this episode's about.
All right. So this week's episode, we are covering the topic of vocal maintenance and hygiene. So how are we practicing healthy habits to preserve our voice? And why the heck does vocal hygiene matter? I liked it and I was really interested in it. And I reached out to Maya. I'm so glad she did this exploratory survey because it is applied universally. It applies to everyone. If you were contracted to voice over a commercial, to sell to a client, to broadcast on the news, it's really important that you take care of your voice because that's how you make a living. But at the same time, you're talking on the phone. If you're visiting with friends, if you're speaking to your boss, if you're talking to your kid, your voice is just as important. So getting through even the simplest of daily tasks without a healthy voice is quite a challenge. So I like to think of it just like brushing your teeth and flossing or putting on sunscreen. Beginning or refining a habit of healthy vocal practices is the first step in preserving a strong and healthy voice throughout your life. So that's what we're talking about this week.
Awesome. And I would like to add that, you know, if you neglect these hygiene tips for vocal health, you run into so many problems that you might think are related to your technique, when really it's just as simple as doing these things that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Making sure that you're preventing and having a good foundation before you step up and try to sing the extreme notes in your range, that's a really good check that you have to have for yourself. So that's great. So when we talk about vocal health in this episode, we're going to observe a few things, and I want to make clear of that to all of you listening. Jordan and I are not doctors. If you feel like something isn't functioning properly with your voice, go see a doctor. Go to an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat doctor. See an otolaryngologist or a speech therapist, someone who is trained in this field. Two, the goal of this episode, we're going to talk about just general themes. So we're going to be talking about hydrating yourself. We're going to be talking about maintaining a healthy diet, a healthy lifestyle, and again, just general vocal health tips. If you want to learn more, there are a lot of links on our blog and the podcast notes, but again, this is just a general episode. And then the third one, always remember that the only one who knows your voice best is you. Explore your voice, see how it functions. The more information you have, the more confidence you're going to have to practice and address the questions as they arise. Housed between the base of the tongue, right in the back of the tongue, and the top of the trachea, or your windpipe leading to your lungs, the voice produces this sound by vibrating two very thin vocal folds. They're just two bands of smooth muscle tissue that are positioned opposite of each other in this, they call it the voice box, but it's the larynx of your throat. And so at rest, these vocal folds, I think of them as like two small rubber bands almost, are open so that you can breathe. And when speaking or singing, the brain does a series of events that snap these vocal folds, these rubber bands together and vibrate while the air from the lungs rushes past. So I'd like to think of it as a really cool analogy if you talk about clapping your hands. So when we clap, our hands come together and interrupt the sounding air, that they create this sound wave. So the sounds that you're hearing right now is when these vocal folds are coming together and creating the sound. But instead of clapping together at two or three times a second with my hands, your vocal folds on average clap about 200 times per second when you're speaking, and over 1,000 times per second sometimes when you're singing, especially going up in the higher range for like sopranos and countertenors especially, right?
Right, yeah, that range will differ for a male versus the female speaking voice. But yeah. Lots of times, basically.
Right. But yeah, bear with me with the analogy, but the factors that make your hand sore can also contribute to your vocal fold fatigue or injury when you're making sound. So how long have you been clapping your hands? How long have you been talking or singing? Once you learn to recognize these symptoms associated with the swelling or the strain, then you're going to have more agency to say, hey, you know what, I got to take a step back. So Jordan, how do you recognize when your voice is tired or you've strained during the day? What techniques do you use for awareness?
For awareness of vocal fatigue?
Yeah. How do you check yourself?
To check that, usually it'll just have this small feeling in my throat where I know it's coming.
Yeah.
And it just feels a little more inflamed.
Sure.
And when that happens, you know, doing tongue trills, like that can be really good, just up and down your range and just checking what points are difficult in the range at that moment.
Yeah.
That's something I do often. And honestly, when I start feeling that, I try to trust my instincts and limit the vocal views.
Right. Yeah. And other questions to ask yourself, does your voice feel raspy? Does it feel hoarse when you're talking? If you wake up in the morning sounding like Barry Manilow and you're you usually your voice is higher than that, that could be an indication. Or asking yourself, does my throat feel raw? Does it feel achy? Are you sick? Is it difficult to talk or have a conversation? Or are you clearing your throat quite a bit? Those are all indications of a possibility of voice strain.
Yeah, you mentioned throat clearing,
mm-hmm.
and that's an interesting topic because throat clearing, you're probably clearing your throat because of irritation that already is there in the throat, but it's just this vicious cycle of you're clearing your throat, which is causing more irritation, and because it's irritated, you clear your throat more. So that's a habit that I think a lot of vocalists struggle with.
No, and it's a really good point because you feel like, well, you feel like something's stuck in your throat. There's like some mucus in there or something's just caught when in fact, you know, the mucus might be there, but there are better ways to get rid of it. And it's just to comprehend and conceptualize, it's extremely rough on your vocal cords because it's causing, there's a lining in your throat. There's a lining of mucus. And you only have a certain amount of mucus every day, and then you go to sleep, and then it kind of recovers. But if that lining goes away because you're clearing your throat constantly, then it's all it's rubbing on is just the muscles. And so what you can do to avoid that before you clear your throat, best thing, drink some water.
Yes, stay hydrated.
So going into, you know, we have to learn, again, to be efficient and responsible with our voices. And so here are some of the most common culprits of vocal fatigue and solutions on how to learn responsible vocal hygiene habits. And these themes came from the interview that I spoke with Maya Jacobs about in our interview this past week. So Maya Jacobs is a professional instrumentalist who got her degree, is getting her degree at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, Massachusetts. And so Maya and I had a chance to sit down because she did an exploratory survey of many different singers from crossover genres, crossover like musical theater or classical music, and then a lot of classically trained singers, etc., to talk about what are some of the tips that you use, how are you preventing vocal injury and creating a sustainable, healthy habit for your longevity of your voice. So here's a clip from Maya about what this study really encompasses.
Yeah, so the survey has kind of like the main questions that are collecting information, such as the vocal training, the age, the voice type, and then what music do you sing? I do have some people who are on the crossover genre, but mainly the people who responded are classical musicians and opera singers. I didn't, unfortunately, had any responses from the pop or rock singers or jazz, but maybe that's something that I'll keep collecting in the future.
When we were talking about the survey, I really wanted to pull the big themes from the survey that I kept hearing time and time again, and that you and I go through all the time, Jordan. And the big ones are staying hydrated, maintaining a healthy diet, and then maintaining a healthy lifestyle, what those tips mean. So let's just dive right into the first one. Staying hydrated, yeah. So, I mean, hydration is keeping these vocal folds moist on an external and internal level. So in terms of hydration, what do you do? How do you stay hydrated vocally?
I think the main thing to remember for staying hydrated is that this is a preparation rather than a last minute fix. You can't be sure. Like, oh, I got to go up and perform now and down a bottle of water and expect things to be okay. This is something that needs to be done potentially weeks in advance. Just developing that habit of really hydrating yourself so the cords can have that mucus layer. We love using that word on the show. Mucus, I guess.
Mucus. Yeah, oh, gross.
I think this is something we need to think about way before we get up on stage. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people are saying, oh, it's so dry and like during performance, like down water, but that really doesn't help a ton.
Yeah. Hydration is preventative. You need to begin doing it prior. So that's a really good point that you're making. Not minutes before, not even hours before, usually the day before, if not a few days before, just like you were saying. So, and hydration, I really like to think about it in two ways. You have external dehydration. So that can come from smoking. Please don't smoke. No judgment here, but that is so harsh on your voice. So please be careful. Breathing in dry air, especially in the dry winter months. Breathing with your mouth open. You mouth breathers, be careful out there. And certain drying medications. We had a link. I have a link to the blog about drying medications. But especially if you use nasal sprays or something like that, you have to look at the ingredients and make sure that that's not drying out your throat or drying out the mucus that you have there. And solutions for that, I love rehydrating my cords in the morning. I take a hot shower. That makes me feel like $1 million. I also use a humidifier. I don't know if you use that too, Jordan.
Yes, 100% recommend. Changed my life last year when I bought one.
Yes, I know. And the National Institute of Health says around 30% humidity is recommended. But I always have a humidifier, especially right around now. November, December is very low humidity. So keep that. The second thing is internal dehydration. It's usually brought on if you drink too much coffee, too much caffeine, too much alcohol. Again, those drying drugs, and then sweating without putting any water back in your body. They dry out the larynx. They irritate the mucus in the throat. I'm going to stop saying mucus because that's disgusting. The solution, please drink water. Drink plenty of it. 6 to 8 glasses is recommended by the National Institute of Health. Replacing your coffee, your tea, your high caffeines, and your sodas with water. If you hate water, mix it in with a small amount of flavoring. Put in a lemon or a mint or a cucumber in your water for something like that.
I would also like to add, with staying hydrated, we talked about the humidifier, which I think is really important. A lot of singers that have been traveling more have been recommending what's called the humidifier.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've heard of this, Austin.
No.
Yeah, and I noticed on the survey there were a few responses that mentioned it. But the humidifier is this this product that you can take on the airplane with you. It's like a mini humidifier you just put right on your face. And that's like really important for when you fly, because when you're up on high altitude, you get dried out really fast.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you travel and then you have to go to an audition or perform right after that, which is common for the life of a singer,
mm-hmm.
It's just very difficult. So a lot of people swear by their humidifiers. I don't have one. I just make sure I stay really hydrated before getting on a plane. That seems to do the trick for me.
Yeah.
But that's the main thing. Just really just drinking a lot of water is the big one.
I just think hydration, I mean, internally, externally is huge.
Yeah, that's like you said, you know, doing the hot shower in the morning, breathing in that steam. I've been having oatmeal every day now that it's winter months, and that's I'll do that as well, just because like there's the steam from the oatmeal, so I'll just breathe in that, and it seems to do really good stuff for my voice.
Perfect. What a perfect segue into the second one, which is maintaining a healthy diet. Good job, Jordan. That's like we planned this. According to the National Association for Music Education, singers particularly seem to be at a higher risk for acid reflux than the average person because of the vigorous pressure changes inside the midsection of the body. And I'm sure that you can relate to this, Jordan. I mean, when always we keep this buoyancy when we're singing, it's not like speaking always. You have to prolong the phrase, and so the type of breath that you need to take and sustain is much different. So they're saying that, you know, you're at more risk for this this acid to be harmful to your throat and your esophagus and your larynx.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and so what they recommend is it's always best to stay away from foods that can cause stomach acid to move up the throat for that acid reflux. So again, avoiding acidic liquids and foods, coffee, spicy foods, citrus fruits. It's also important not to eat late at night. I'm not going to give you a time, like don't eat after 11, don't eat after 9, whatever you think is late at night, whatever you're thinking for your body. And again, limiting alcohol consumption can help subdue this. So Jordan, are there, like you said, the oatmeal, you're breathing in that steam, any other solutions that you have in terms of a healthy diet for yourself that you follow?
Yeah, I think staying away from acidic foods, especially before performance, is important.
Yeah.
The eating late at night comment, I think, is also really good. And it's hard as singers because our schedule usually requires us performing pretty late at night. So it's easy to get into that habit of eating something. I think the main important thing, though, is if you are going to eat late at night, just give yourself some time before you're sleeping. Like, don't eat and then go to sleep really soon after. That's the main thing there.
And I totally agree with you. You have a late show, it ends up like getting out at 10, and then everybody else is like, oh, I'm so starving, I've been jumping around for 2 hours, let's go to McDonald's or something like that. It's so easy to get in that habit, and then you're exhausted, so you just fall right asleep. So I get exactly what you're talking about, you know, maybe trying to stay up a little bit later or thinking about different options than the large fry and a Big Mac.
Yeah. And I haven't found that a lot of singers, you know, say different things in their diet affect their singing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found a lot of them to bother me that much. Acidic foods, I do notice that. The dairy hasn't really been an issue, but I know it is for a lot of people.
Yeah, some people say it chalks up their throat before they sing and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I think it really, this is an individual thing. You have to figure out what is working for you and be flexible to change your diet.
Yeah. Other solutions include more veggies, whole grains, and fruits in your diet, especially fruits like grapes, apples, pears, and watermelon. They contain a lot of water, so they're excellent hydrating snacks. So if you're still having troubles, talk to your doctor. If you do actually have acid reflux, talk to your doctor about methods and strategies that you can take to kind of prevent that for you. The last thing that we're talking about here on the episode is number 3, healthy lifestyle. Healthy habits equals a happy voice. So it's important to keep in mind that our vocal folds are muscles. They get used so much throughout the day. If you're talking, if you're singing, whatever you're doing, any muscle that we use extensively then, whether you're at the gym, whether you're hiking up a trail, running a marathon, we all know to stretch. We all know how to take care of them. They always have to be given a rest and recovery period in order to prevent injury, just like your vocal cords. So, you know, vocal folds can't start healing until you stop speaking and singing. So if you know you're going to have a major performance, you know you're going to be speaking a long time, give your voice the proper time to prepare itself. Jordan, what do you think about healthy habits, healthy lifestyle habits that you use and incorporate in your life?
I think one of the main ones is if I know I'm going to be doing a lot of singing that day, limiting what I'm doing before that. Like, it's all right to be having conversations, especially if you've been working on your speaking voice to speak healthily. But if you're going to go to a football game or some event that you're going to be making a lot of sound at, that's not going to be the best idea before you have to go perform.
Go to a bar, start screaming, and then do your performance.
Yeah. For instance, I have a student that I'm working with right now who doesn't have much of a falsetto. And I was wondering what was the issue trying to get into that, to the head voice. And it turns out that he's been screaming at a football game every week. And that's why he doesn't have access to it. Because like one of the times he walked in and it worked. I'm like, oh, now I have something that we can work with. What's the difference? And I found that out. And that's, so these things that we do in our life really affect our performance as a vocalist.
Yeah. And along the same line, I don't know, a lot of singers, I know a lot, I don't know if you relate to this as well. I'm sure you do, Jordan, but I hear a lot of my singer friends are waiters, bartenders, are hosts and hostesses. And they say, oh, it's great money. It's a lot of money for, it's flexible schedule and it's great around my audition schedule, which is great. But I mean, you're in an environment where you have to nearly yell all the time if that restaurant is full and busy, which really puts a lot of strain on your voice, just like you're talking about with your student. So really, you have to be aware of your environment. And one of the rules that they like to talk about is for every 2 hours of talking, rest your voice for about 10 minutes or recognize when you're speaking too loudly. So just keep that in mind.
Right. Yeah. Be thinking about technique even when you're speaking. You know, you can apply a lot of the principles that you're working on as a vocalist, working on as a singer, to your speech.
Yeah. So as I'm looking at the survey, there are quick facts that I can see from here. So the age range goes anywhere from 18 to 45 plus years, but there's definitely a skew from, there's a large amount of people from age 18 to 25. There are all voice types represented. There's baritone and basses, mezzos, tenors, sopranos, countertenors, with a large skew towards the sopranos. So there were a lot of really good, interesting facts here. A lot of classical singers were represented. There were about 30 responses. And if you want to see the full quick facts of the results, please definitely click on the link below.
I think my favorite section on this survey, which you know you'll have access to as listeners, is this: what is your quick fix for a flu or a cold? There's some really fun responses there.
Right, and that really leads into the second part of the survey that Maya talks about right here.
Part two is more about the individual habits. How many hours do you practice? How much water do you drink? Do you work out? How many hours do you sleep at night? So this is again still part of the information that we collect about the population. And then the next phase of the survey was more about specific wellness and topics that might, I think, be interesting to singers, such as like how to get a quick fix for a cold, how to travel and keep your hygiene, how to deal with some nervousness before performances, how to relax.
And so, Jordan, I love that you picked out, that was one of my favorite too, the quick fix for the flu or cold. What other ones have you been looking at on this sheet that you really enjoyed?
In that section, you mean?
Yeah, in the section. There were some hilarious ones.
Yeah, some really interesting ones, like drink pineapple juice.
Yeah.
And garlic soup.
I didn't know. And these are singers. I mean, I don't know. These are some singers' responses that they're doing. Classical singers. Interesting.
Yeah, we all do different stuff. It's really funny. Like, we're all super paranoid about our voice, I feel like. But it's just so interesting to see individually what works for different people. Some of them are pretty standard, like a lot of sleep, fluids, vitamins, you know, but stuff like that, strong ginger and garlic. Pineapple juice, though, that one takes the cake for me. That one's pretty awesome.
It's interesting. Just a couple quick last tips. Avoid some lengthy conversations on the phone. Stop clearing your frickin' throat. Wash your hands often to prevent getting the cold or flu. And rest your voice and avoid talking when you're sick. Illness puts a lot of stress on your voice because the cords are most likely a bit swollen. And also, one of the things I didn't really realize, avoid mouthwash brands that contain alcohol, or irritating chemicals. Try to find those non-alcoholic solutions, or try, gargling with salt water, kind of more of a natural solution, so that you can keep your throat, in a good position and your, cords hydrated and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's really what I have here on the episode. If you're looking for Jordan, please add in, but if you're looking for more tips, please take a look at the exploratory survey that our friend Maya Jacobs created. to see how other vocalists practice vocal hygiene. Check out her website, retunewithmaya.com. The mission is providing musicians and artists like Maya information that goes way beyond what music and artistry. It's a lifestyle. It's a type of knowledge that impacts your whole life and art in every possible way. So that's all I have for you here.
Great. So listeners, please send us your comments on vocal health. What is it that you do to maintain vocal health? What topics do you want us to dive into for vocal health? We really want to hear from you, and we want this to be a community endeavor. So if you could reach out to us on our website, you can contact us directly through email, on Facebook, we're on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and, you know, talk to each other as well on those pages.
Yeah, we want to hear your tips. Your stories continue to add to the dialogue and, again, contribute to our goal on the Holistic Voice, which is to enlighten, encourage, and empower you to know more about your voice.
Right. And so if you could do us a favor and write reviews on iTunes and share this with your friends, your vocalist friends, it would mean a great deal as we're starting off this podcast.
We'll see everyone in 2 weeks, right, Jordan?
Yep. Yeah, we'll see you then.